That's the first one, the Doug and Pony Show. Check, check, check. You're going to need to really turn this one down. Can you turn it down? Good? Good. Hi, everybody. My name is Doug, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. There's sometimes I say that in meetings, and then they'll be like, you know, the hands will go up. And the whole meeting's about me, baby. I love it. I say, I'm recovered, and the whole meeting turns about me. Do you know in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it talks about permanent sobriety twice? It talks about permanent sobriety. Hi, my name is Doug. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and I have permanent sobriety. In the whole room, and I just go like this, and I walk out. It works all the time. It freaks them out. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to bring you through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have highlighters here for those of you who don't have them. So what I would like to do is I'd like to pass these around. As you can tell, we have a walking mic because of me. I have ADD and I can't sit still. If you'd pass it around, sir, thank you very much. I heard a new definition, and I'm gonna say it once on this tape. And from this point forward, I'm going to say that I made it up. I heard it from Rich last night. The definition of insanity is going into a 12-step program and not working the 12 steps. But the way I'm going to start it is like Rich said, and everyone says, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expect the different results, whatever. It's going to a 12-step program expecting not to do the 12 steps. I don't get it. So I'm going to bring you back in time. Follow me back in time as I walk up on the stage here. I'm also a public speaker and motivational because I'm going to be running all over like Tony Robbins when we used to speak together. My name is Doug M., and this is my email address. Doug M., Doug Muir, M-U-I-R, 01 at gmail.com. I want you all to email me and ask for a package that I have. I have a 12-step package that I put together over the years. It has all the forms in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous so that you don't have to reinvent this wheel, okay? I'm a very simple-minded person, so I put this whole thing together just for you, and I'd be more than happy to email this to you. It's dmuir01 at gmail.com. I get emails from all over the world, and it's absolutely a beautiful thing. I love it. I really do. Come back to 1995 with me for a second. I'm sitting in this, let me rephrase that. I'm laying in bed. It's February 1st, 1995. It's 3:25 in the afternoon, and I wake up. And I don't know what happened to January. To this day, January 1995 does not exist. Okay? That's very scary to me. It still is now. I get this chill when I think about it. So what happened was, as you all may have heard my tapes before, and if not, if you're afraid of flying, please leave the room now, because I'm going to tell you stories, and you'll never fly again. And I do not say the airline, because the stock will plummet. But I'm a retired captain from one of these airlines. Hello, is this on? And actually, one of the guys in our big book who has a story, I had to make amends to him. I did. But what he did literally saved my life, but what he did changed my life. So alcohol testing came in 1995. Now, being a union member and leader of the Airline Pilots Association, I fought that to the 10th degree. I totally threw the dude under the bus, and I made amends to him. But I fought that, saying, you're stepping on my rights. And what rights? Flying drunk? I mean, come on, give me a break. And so what I did was I lost that bet, and alcohol testing came in 1995. Before, it was 8 hours from bottle to throttle, whatever. And, you know, my hardest part about my job was driving to the airport. You know, get me in the airplane, I'm, like, strapped in. 5 o'clock in the morning, and everybody's like, I'm ready to go. Yeah, but the flight doesn't leave till 7. It's 5, you know what I mean? And so I tried to figure out my schedule for January 1995. And you have to bid your January schedule in December. And so I'm sitting there and I'm bidding, well, if I do 3 days and, oh, God, I can't do this here. I can't do this here. Because what happened was the alcohol testing came in and it was 0.0123. Like it was something really nominal, like a hangover 2 days later. And so I was trying to figure out the schedule and I finally figured it out. My first flight was January 4th. And so January 3rd, I had a cocktail. How many of us ever had cocktails? Come on. I drink with a vengeance. I don't have cocktails. You know, high-class people like Chris have cocktails. And what happened when I had that cocktail? I'm going to show you today, medically, what happened to me. Okay? I'm a drawer. Drawer, as you all would say up here. And I'm going to draw this thing for you. Medically, what a medical doctor told me. And when I was in, as Chris calls it, Happy Hills. And so anyway, I had that drink. And I woke up February 1st, 1995. And there was bottles everywhere. There was feces. There was blood. I thought I killed somebody. And I started shaking violently. And I remember I looked at the clock because I wanted to know what time I died. Is that sick? I'm like, it was 3:25 in the afternoon on February 1st, 1995. And I was like, God, why have you forsaken me? I was always melodramatic, you know. And this peace came from the top of my head all the way down to my toes. And I got up from bed, and I'm not levitating, I mean like I sat up. And I stopped shaking. And this voice came into my head and said, it's over. Three times, it's over. And a number came into my head, and I dialed it. And it said, blank, blank, Airlines Employee Assistance Program. And I'm like, holy shit. And I hung up. I didn't even know we had one. And then I did it again. And I hung up. And the third time, the guy was like, okay, stop. This is a private line. And I was like, I think I'm an alcoholic. I mean, you should have seen the house. There was vomit and puke and bottles. I have missed January 95. Did I tell you that part? You think? Well, in the airlines, it's like the CIA, man. They cut you out. You know, there's three people at my door. And so there was a letter that was on the side of the bed, and I picked it up. Now, I knew it was quiet, but I didn't know why it was quiet, and I knew no one was feeding me, so I was very hungry. And there was a letter from my then-wife, and she said that she had left and took the kids. I had a 3- and 2-year-old. They're 19. They're going to be 19 and 8. They're 18 and 17 now, so they really never see me drink. And it says, you have turned out just like your father. Somebody I swore I would never be like. I turned out just like my father. I have taken the kids. They were gone for 3 days. I didn't even know they were gone. That's pretty bad. Plus, I'm missing January. Did I tell you? January's gone. So these guys come, and they pick me up, and they fly me to Happy Hills. Now, Happy Hills, for airline pilots, we go to this special hospital in South Miami Hospital, right? Near South Beach. You know, we're hanging out, we're tanning, but not me. I'm in a 28-day program, and they keep me in for 72. Because they like me so much, they wanted me to stay. So I'm in this 28-day program for 72, and I'm in this padded cell, and things aren't really going very well for me. And I surrendered my license, so I have no license. Everything's gone. Kids, family, job, gone. Totally naked. Gone. And I'm standing in this guy's office, Dr. Wolfson. I'll never forget it. I'm looking for a chair. And he was sitting down, and he had his feet up on the desk. And now they had flown in my then-wife, who's a flight attendant. Imagine that. I married a flight attendant. And she's a wonderful lady. And so she's sitting next to me, and I'm sitting there with an attitude. And he looks at me, and he goes, "You're an angry little man, aren't you?" I get up, and I go, "Fuck you!" And I grab her hand, and I'm walking through the door. I get to the door. He didn't even flinch. His feet are on the table, and he goes, "If you touch that door, I'll make sure you won't even fly a fucking kite." That was it. So I knew that this guy had control over me from that point forward. Because you have to understand, everything that I was, my whole being, my whole life, was Doug, the airline pilot. I was never Doug. This is my friend Doug Muir. Hey, this is my buddy, the airline pilot. It was who I was. It was who I identified with. That is nothing who I am now. I'm so clear that I'm a spiritual being on a mission to help the world. Really. It's amazing on how many lives you all touch on a daily basis that you have no idea. That you have no. Robert said something very sweet the other night. I don't remember because I speak a lot on how I changed his life. That's, can you imagine? I mean, Rich probably hears it all the time. I know Chris, tens of thousands of people. And so I know that that is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. So I go to Happy Hills. I'm there for 72 days. And they let me go. Now I don't want to go. I'm like, "Hey, you can't." I'm like holding up to the door. "You can't push me." And they're grabbing my leg. And so I go back home. And I hear this, "Don't drink, go to meetings." And I am an alcoholic of the real variety. So I don't drink, I go to meetings. I don't drink, I go to meetings. I don't drink, I go to meetings. 90 days sober, I say this. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. Ready? I'm going to pick up this little trinket. In Florida, we give gifts, door prizes for staying sober. I don't know. It's like giving a cowboy a door prize for not riding a horse when he has hemorrhoids. I mean, it's not the whatever. So we get these little door prizes. And it was, I think it's green for 90 days, and I'm getting this 90 day. And I'm holding on, I'm not drinking, going to meetings. And then I'm going to go to Five Point Liquors. See, you got to understand, in Florida, we have drive-through liquor stores. When you're too drunk, you just drive through. The whole left side of my car is destroyed because I get close. Here comes Dougie. And I'd be like in full uniform, putting on the hat so they don't think I'm drunk. So anyway, I'm going to go to Five Point Liquors. I'm ready to go. I'm rocking. And I pick up my green chip, and I'm running for the door, and this guy from Hoboken, New Jersey, Greg H., just goes like this. "Hey, man, what's up?" Nothing. And he's just going like this. It's like we were doing the tango together. "Hey, man, what's up?" I'm like, "Nah, I got to go. I'm like, I'm out of breath because you get so excited. You're getting, I'm almost peeing now thinking about it." And so Greg goes, "Hey, listen, I just want to tell you something. Before you leave, you're acting a little more weird than usual. But if you're about ready to go out, I want you to understand that you have never worked the program of recovery. So do not tell anybody that AA has failed you. Are we clear?" Little son of a bitch. So I said to him, "What? You've been dragging me to institutions and dragging me to jails and dragging me here and all these losers and you're a loser and he's a loser. You know who I am?" He goes, "Yeah, an unemployed airline pilot." "Yeah, well, I used to be one." So anyway, he says, "I'll tell you what I'll do." He used to call me genius. He says, "I'll tell you what I'll do, genius. You are unemployed. So what we're going to do is this. You'll be over my house at 8 o'clock. Okay? You're a minute late. Don't even knock on the door, because we're an undisciplined people." He says, "If you lie to me once, you're done. We cool?" And I was like, "Yeah, just get out of my way." And then I get in my car, and I start driving to Five Point Liquors. And I'm at the stoplight, and I'm looking at Five Point Liquors. And I know Shirley's behind the window, and I'm sober, so I don't have to hit my car. I'm like, all this excitement going on, because I didn't want to be an airline pilot anyway. I take one drink, everything gets wiped out. So I said, "Okay." For some reason, I made a left. It was a Saturday. I made a left, and I didn't drink that Saturday. I didn't drink that Sunday. I didn't drink that Monday. And Tuesday, my life changed. Tuesday, my life changed. I'd like everybody to open up to the front page of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you would. in big, big, big letters, it states Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Now, this is what I love. Whenever they try to hide something, they put it on the front page. If you want to hide something from an alcoholic, put it in his big book. We're going to change that today. We all agree on this? I want you to have an experience today that you have never had before. This is the experience that Dr. Bob used to do with his people. We are going to go through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in 4 hours. Is that crazy? Everyone's shaking their heads. It's great. It's not crazy. Because when we get to the fourth step, I don't care if Susie Lou didn't let you touch her private part when you were five. I can care less. I want the meat and the potatoes. And I'm going to write your fourth step for you, just like Ebby did for Bill. Bill couldn't write his fourth step. He was shaking. So this is what I'm going to do. If you notice, Alcoholics Anonymous, the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered. Hi, my name is Doug. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I actually have people in meetings saying it says it nowhere. I say to myself, oh my God, you've never read the big book. When I first got my spiritual awakening, I was the worst nightmare of your life. I know why you failed. I know why you never worked the steps, loser, loser! And then I'd say to my sponsor, hey, Tommy, how come no one wants me to sponsor me? He'd be like, you're an asshole. I kill myself sometimes. Has anybody ever seen this before? And for those of you on tape and who can't see me drawing, I'm drawing a circle and a triangle. Has anybody seen the circle and the triangle? I just used to think that this was a nice, pretty thing that you hung around your neck. Nice. It actually means something in AA. Bill was a great salesman, right? Not too good at stocks, but he was a great salesman. Actually, he was very good at stocks. He was a guy who invented the penny dollar, whatever they call it. But yeah, he's. But what happened here is it started off with the Buddhist, and Buddhism, believe it or not, started in India. And it started off with mind, body, and soul. And they believed if your mind, body, and soul were all one, you were protected by the universe, which is the circle. Got it? So Bill comes up with this great idea, and he puts this little thing here called TM. And for those lawyers in the room, you all know what that is. That's a nice little trademark that he took. Okay? We no longer have that in our book. We used to have it, but we no longer have it because something happened where people were using this and making pillowcases and making blankets, and we had to either sue them or let it go. We have no outside issues, so we let it go. Okay? For those of you in La La Land on this tape, if I misquote, thank you, but please don't drill me with emails. I was fighting with a guy over this once, and I'm like, just trying to give me these emails. And my wife is like, hey, Mr. Spirituality, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Are you still writing that Yahoo? But I'm going to prove to him I was right. So I lost 10 hours of my life proving to this alcoholic that, anyway. And I just wasted another. This guy's killing me for years now. I'm still talking about this guy. You want to do a four-step later? I got to get over this guy. Chris talked about it. I want you all to write recovery. 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 Did I tell you all I'm an aerospace engineer by education? I cannot. I have spell check look at me like, what are you trying to say here? Recovery, that's pretty nice, isn't it? Unity and service, okay? What does this mean? My sponsor told me the first day at his house, if I follow this on a daily basis, that I will never drink again. I'm going to tell you this now. I say it on every CD if you ever heard me talk. We're talking today about permanent sobriety. Now, if you don't want to drink one day at a time, good. That's good for you. I kind of think on a longer term basis. I never wanted to drink again. Ever wanted to drink again. So we're going to talk about permanent sobriety today. Just bear with me. Just say, I saw this crazy guy. He kept talking about permanent sobriety and recovery. He says, if I did this, I would never drink again. Because what would happen is, the recovery is the 12 steps. The unity are the meetings. The service work is, as Chris was talking about, was AA. Okay? So now let's look at my week. You ready? We're going to look at my week. I'm going to go back 1 week. The 12 steps, what did I do? I filled out literally my 10th step form. That's on page 86, the questions. And I will email this to you every night. Not bad. 7 nights. I woke up every morning, pray and meditated. I'm trying to think about this because I traveled the West Coast, so sometimes I get all screwed up on my time frames. Yeah, I pray and meditated every morning. I did. And I wrote my 10th step at night. Unity, I made 2 meetings. And then, I made two meetings in a conference. This counts. And so does tomorrow. Right? I made 2 meetings in 1 conference. And then on my AA service work, I brought 1 person through the steps on Sunday in my office in Charlottesville, Virginia. Okay? I love doing that. I mean, this is nice. I've been doing this for quite some time. I really want to, I'm starting to get back into one-on-one. I really enjoy that. I love watching the spiritual awakening. And I have my cell phone up there because I'm going to read the email that he just sent me. This guy is like rocketed into the 4th dimension of existence. Okay? I'm going to read that email to you later. So my chances of drinking are right here. None. I am safe and protected by what I call God. Does that make sense to everybody? So this is what I do on a weekly basis. I have my sponsees fill this stuff out and meet me in my car, and I just cycle them through like every 15 minutes. Okay, give me your 10 step. I don't want to hear their feelings. They can get a life sponsor, as I call them, if they want to do that. I just want to know, what are you doing? What actions are you taking? And guess what? When they start doing this, after about the 2nd month, there's no more whining. It's all over. It's done. Now, it says here, how many thousands of men and women have recovered? I want to make one thing perfectly clear here. We are not cured, are we? Good. I was thinking, whoa, are we? Cool. All right, so this is what we have. There's 2 separate things. We have recovered, correct? Recovered, and we have cured. Let me show you what the difference is. On recovered, we have symptoms, disease. I have to talk and spell this out. I know it's embarrassing for you and me too. Disease. Did I spell that right? We have the symptoms and disease. Okay? Recovered and cured. This is the difference. If you are cured, my mother had breast cancer, and she had the symptoms of cancer and the disease of cancer, right? They worked on my mother. She was cured. The symptoms of cancer went away, and the disease of cancer went away. She was cured. Follow me? Recovered. When you work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous continually, like we just did in the circle and the triangle, the symptoms, the obsession, goes away. It does. How? It's a God thing. It just does. All right. I've never found a reason why I need to go out and drink again after all these years. Okay? But what happens if I add 1 scope, 1 shot of anything to my body, any alcohol, any drug? What happens to my system? Does anybody know? I'm off to the races, right? I'm off to the races. That's why we are not cured. We are recovered, contingent. And it's all based on a what? Spiritual basis. Now, that takes me to the coming up on step one here. Check it out. I'm an atheist. Yeah, I know. This is a long story. So anyway, I'm an atheist. So I'm trying to work the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm an atheist. And I keep saying to my sponsor, this is not going to work for me. I'm different than you all. This is not going to work for me. I want everybody to turn to the table of contents. You know what he said? He said to me, turn to the table of contents. He says, dude, look at this. Having had a spiritual awakening as Rich says, singular, result of these steps, right? As a result of these steps. He goes, we're at the table of contents, genius. Relax. I'll get you to the spiritual awakening. I'm like, yeah, buddy. He used to hate when he do that. All right, I want you to take the preface to chapter 3. The preface to chapter 3. When I say box it in, I want you to box in here. People always say, where are the steps? I'm going to tell you right now. That's step 1. Got it? 60 pages. There's 30 Roman numeral pages. There's 30 regular number pages to get to step 1. How important is step 1? It's got to be smashed. Not broken. Smashed. Correct? I want you to write step 2 next to 4. Chapter 4, I want you to write step 2. We the agnostics. That's where step 2 comes in. We got it? And then I want you to box in 5 through 7. 5 through 7, okay? That's steps 3 through 12. Now, the lost chapters. No one talks much about the lost chapters, do they? Chris? I know I don't. Chapters 8 through 11. Those are practicing these principles in all your affairs. All your affairs. And they don't mean having an affair on your wife and husband. They're talking about all your affairs. Your work, your house, you know. I can't be flying in from San Francisco yesterday to come to this meeting and seeing this long line at National Car Rental and just freaking out and just killing everybody. I'm thinking it, but I'm not acting it, okay? I'm running late. I'm calling up. You idiot should have sent me directions. I'm getting lost, right? Doug is here. Okay? Because I know that there's a higher power and a higher purpose, and maybe I'm running into somebody and I could help them. And I think Richard has proved that. Okay? So practicing the principles in all your affairs. It's so very important. That's where the steps are. So when people say, hey, where are the steps? I used to love these people. I worked the steps daily in my life. And I'd run up to them after a meeting. Oh, thank God I found you. How do you do? I just don't think. Okay. Just let go and let God. And all of a sudden I'm turning around. I'm like, he's reading these things on the wall, you know? You didn't know how to work the steps daily in your life. I'm going to show you how to work the steps daily in your life today. And then I'm going to show you how to show others how to work the steps daily in your life. Because people that complete their ninth step, people that continually work the steps, pray and meditate, then go to meetings. I put it in the fourth column if you notice. Then go to meetings, get a type of sobriety as Chris and Richard have. Okay? I didn't even say me because you may not want my type, but the type of, who's that guy over there? I want you to turn to the preface. You ready? Check this out. Preface. This is big because I want you to highlight this. Now, it's the second paragraph. If you don't see an indentation, it's not a paragraph. Okay? So I'm going to start working about paragraphs. So you're going to say the preface, second paragraph. This is what I'm going to read. Top of the page. Because this book has become the basic text for our society. Basic text, circle that, basic text, and has helped such a large number of alcoholics, men and women, to recovery, past tense, there exists a sentiment against any radical changes. Basic text. What's a textbook? What's a textbook? Somebody says, it's a book that needs to be taught. You're absolutely right. So why are there people out there? I just had a friend come up to me today, and his sponsor said the same thing that mine in Happy Hills Farm said to me. Because I saw this guy the second day I was sober, and he spoke, and he looked good, and he cleaned, and he smelled nice, totally different than me. And I asked him to be my sponsor, and he did the same thing to me as he did to you. He said, read this book. I said, all right. And I'm in a padded cell. So I read it. I called him back the next day. Collect. I was on a payphone. Call him back. He goes, you read it? I'm like, I have nothing. I'm in a padded cell. He says, all right. I said, okay, the book is written really poor, and that's coming from an engineer, and this guy Bill is a loser. He goes, read it again. Okay, I call him up the next day. Bill's still a loser, and the book is still written poorly. What was he telling me? I don't know the big book. Why don't you tell me? It's a textbook. It needs to be taught, folks. We need to teach this to people. That's what I'm doing to you. You are going to spread it on to bah, 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 bah. You know what their worst nightmare was in 39 when this thing came out? The worst nightmare was that AA was going to get watered down. What happened? Oh, my God, watered down version. I mean, we're like enigmas over here, you know? I was just speaking. I just got back from Dublin, Ireland, which is like the Super Bowl of AA, I guess. I was on stage like, I have arrived. I'm going to retire on the speaker circuit now. They're not letting 18-year-olds and below go to AA meetings. They actually wrote that in their bylaws of Intergroup, and we're working on that now. But big book studies are like so out. It is unbelievable. And folks, if you can see the faces on these people I'm talking to now, it's crazy. We all look like, oh, my God, what's happening? What is happening? So there's a few people that started like Chris when he found out about New Jersey. This one guy, folks, if you don't think you can change the world, you are absolutely kidding yourself. We could change, one person could change the world. I'm dead serious about that. This one guy, Paul, with a deep Irish accent from Dublin, Ireland, now has almost 250 people behind him with spiritual awakenings. Try to fight a spiritual awakening. You will overshadow darkness every time. You cannot beat a spiritual awakening. It's love times the sun times 10. Wait till you hear my spiritual awakening. It's the most embarrassing moment of my life. I was on an airplane. I want God. And they're like, holy shit. All right, I want you to turn to the forward to the first edition. This is what they wrote in 1939, first paragraph. Check this out. When they talk about we, they're talking about the first 100 people of AA. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a hopeless status. From a hopeless state of mind and body, to show other alcoholics, and there's that squiggly writing, to show other alcoholics precisely, what's precisely mean? Like, I don't know, exactly. Exactly how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. If it's the main purpose of this book, why are we not screaming this from the hilltop? I don't get it. I want an answer. I love when no one answers me because it's just crazy. The main purpose of this book is to show you, I don't care what age you are, precisely how we have recovered. You got it? That's the main purpose of this book. It talks about a mind and a body. Now, this is what Happy Hills form Dr. White showed me. My wife, the little guinea she is from Rome, Italy, right off the boat, and I think they're going to allow me to make the sauce tonight. She taught me. There's no measurement over there. A pinch, a tad, a scotia, whatever. When she drinks, it comes in as alcohol, turns to formaldehyde. And then all of a sudden you get this, woo, she gets the woo, you know, half a glass of wine. She goes, Douglasa, she calls me Douglasa. Douglasa, I'm drunk, sir. She pluralizes everything. I'm drunk, sir. Her body shuts down and she leaves that half a glass of wine. And I still look at her after all these years like, why weren't you around when you were my girlfriend? We could have been drinking. I could have taken all your drinks. She stops because it's poison to the non-alcoholic. Formaldehyde, barley and hops, H2O, we go pee. Got it? You want to know what happens with us? Have you ever heard you've crossed the line? It's like losing a leg, as it talks about in the big book. You never grow it back. You can never go back on that line. This is what happens to us. Because it is alcohol, turns to formaldehyde, the poison comes into our mind, and what do we say? Let's kick it up a notch. If one is good, 20 is phenomenal. Right? But what happens is we literally cross the line and we are forming a codeine-like substance in our brain, which makes it virtually impossible to stop. And we are restless, irritable, and discontent until at once relieved with a few drinks. Drinks of which we see others taken with impunity, which means no problem. It turns to codeine. Codeine, barley, and hops. I don't think I ever tried to stop. Maybe once. I think I had like a week, but I was doing morphine. I had a back operation, you know. So I was like celebrating. I'm not drinking. Guy's like, aren't you on morphine? Whatever. I always thought I was just a weak person. I had no idea that I had this disease. Okay. Turn to the forward of the second edition. Forward of the second edition. I want everybody to go to the first paragraph, third sentence. It says that every alcoholic who journeys finds the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. at his destination. Welcome, you are here. Let's make one thing perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. There is a fellowship. And then there is a program. The fellowship is meetings, and the program are the 12 steps. Okay? When I first came in here, I was working a fellowship. What are my chances of survival? It's like nil. It's nil. What happened was, back in the late 40s, early 50s, from my studies, I found out that the court system started sending people into our rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Just like Richard was saying, go to 10 meetings. Well, thank God he's of the real, real, real variety, as talked about on page 21. But they're sending in, like, Uncle Fudd, who just lost Aunt May of 50 years, and they were married, and he's dying inside, and he gets a DWI, his first one, and they say, go to AA, and he sees all of us laughing and having fun. But, as it says on page 20, as a hard drinker, he could stop or moderate. Could any of us stop or moderate? Are you kidding me? I won't even try. Right? And then he starts sponsoring people. And people like me or Rich are walking up saying, oh, man, you sound good. Please help me, help me. All right, kid, take your time. Yeah. Take your time. Don't drink. Go to meetings. Don't think. Shut up. You know, he's degrading. And then all of a sudden, like a week later, I'm going out and I'm drinking. I'm thinking, why am I such a loser? And I come back in. What happened? Ah, you're thinking too much. Well, maybe we could work these steps. Nah, take your time. They're killing us. They're killing us. They're killing us. And I have people that come to me, and I bring them through. And by the time I'm done with the first step with them, I say to them, you're a hard drinker. Please, you are allowed to join us if you like. Please, join us. Do not sponsor one person. If I find out you're doing it, I'm going to rat you out, because you will kill more people. You could stop or moderate. I cannot. And that's what happened to Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's why we were at a 75% sobriety rate, and we are now at an 8. The last survey said 5. Okay? And if you think I get upset, I do. I do. But I will calm down because I'm here at a meeting. All right. I want everybody on the forward to the second edition. I want you all to turn to page XVI, or just turn to the next page. If you go down to the first paragraph, it says, the broker had worked hard with many alcoholics on the theory that only an alcoholic could help an alcoholic. But he had succeeded in keeping himself sober. Why, folks, would I tell you to wait a year to sponsor somebody? If the only thing that keeps this guy sober, which was Bill Wilson, was working with another alcoholic, why would I tell you to wait? If you have worked the steps out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you have it highlighted, you are working the steps daily in your life, pass it on. Bill waited 6 days. I got a mic, so I can't hold up the thumb. 6 days, okay? He waited 6 days. Can you imagine if Bill waited a year, we wouldn't be here. We'd be suffering. 6 days. Work the steps, practice the steps, show others how to work the steps, okay? It says here, if you go down about 3 sentences down from that paragraph we just read, it says, Bill Wilson suddenly realized that in order to save himself, working with others is life and death. In order to save himself, he must carry the message to another alcoholic. Why wait a year? Just give me a revolver. That's all. Give me a revolver. I'll put a gun to my head. It says here in the next paragraph, the physician, which is Dr. Bob, the physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means to resolve his alcoholic dilemma but had failed. Folks, I was an atheist, and I joined a church on Amelia Island, and I was a cook. And I was so bad at it, and I'd come in so drunk that they took the knives away from me. I'm trying to go to church. I'm atheist. Hello? Is that crazy? Don't drink, go to church does not work. Why? Because if you are able to do a 4-step and a 5-step in your church, which you probably could, if you could do a 9-step and go out and make amends, if you could help others in your community, go for it. Dr. Bob was just not drinking, going to church, and he was full of guilt That's why our birthday, which should be the first week of May, is actually June 10th because he went out and drank again because he didn't do the ninth step. Okay? All right. Now, this is the kicker. I want you to go to the bottom of that page, last sentence. And it says this. This seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. It also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. Permanent recovery, forever. Permanent recovery. Why am I going to tell you to wait a year if you can have permanent recovery by helping others? Just think about that. It talks about this in the big book. Why aren't we screaming this from the hilltops? I don't get it. I got to be missing something. I know I'm not very bright. I can't spell. Of course, you can see that. I don't get it. Why aren't we screaming this from the hilltop? Permanent sobriety. I want you to go down to, on that page that we just read, I want you to go down to the third paragraph. It says, it was now time the struggling groups thought to place their message, the message of AA, the 12 steps, in the unique experience. This is not just theory. This is all experience that we're working with. The unique experience before the world. This determination bore fruit in 1939. This determination bore fruit in 1939. Their biggest fear was what's happening today. Their biggest fear was this message getting watered down. That's why they put it into a book. And we could take a book and join a 12-step program and not do the 12 steps. That's insanity. That clicked with me, Rich. I got it. That's you know, that doing the same thing over and over again, expecting whatever. I mean, I still do that in my life now, but the joining a 12-step program and not working the 12 steps, that's crazy. I get that. I still get things. I love numbers. Turn the page. At the top of the page, I want you to go down to the last sentence in that paragraph. And it says, by the end of 1939, it was estimated that 800 alcoholics have what? Recovered. You like numbers? Do you know what? But somebody said to me once, why didn't you pick like an easier kind of college degree than aerospace engineering? And I just looked at them like they had three heads, and I was like, it's the only thing I could do drunk. Right? It's the same reason why I didn't take a wrestling scholarship. You have to cut weight. How are you going to do that in school? Ready? June 10th, 1935. AA begins, correct? The book of Alcoholics Anonymous comes out in April of 1939. Okay? 100 people are sober. How many years is this? Does anybody know? Can you do the math real quick? Say again? Okay, 4 years. 4 years, by word of mouth, 100 people get sober. It then states in this book, in that paragraph, by the end of 1939, so from April 1939, right, to December 1939, 800 people get sober. The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous comes out, 8 months, 800 people are sober. 4 years, 100 by word of mouth. 8 months, 800 people get sober. What does that tell you about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous? Isn't that crazy? So why aren't we like screaming this? Why aren't we showing this to everybody? Because you don't have idiots like me coming up here shouting at you all the time. All right, I want you to go to the first paragraph on that page. Go down about five lines. It says, by March 1941, by March 1941, so we got December 1939 to March 1941. What's that? About a year and 4 months? Something like that? What do we have here? December 39, 40, so it'd be for a year and 3 months. 1.3, 2,000 people are sober. 4 years, 100 people get sober. A year and 3 months later, 2,000. What does that tell you about the power of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous? That this message is true. Should we not be screaming this from the hilltop? What do you think? You want more numbers? Turn the next page. Turn the next page. Go down about three lines. For people who came in and really tried, worked the steps, sponsored others, went to meetings, had home groups, right? Pray and meditated, who really tried. 50% got sober at once. 50% got sober at once for a year. That was the measurement. Then some went out, but they came back and stayed sober. 25% of those did, right? I want you to underline all that and highlight it all. That's a 75% sobriety rate. Look what we got now. What happened? AA so got watered down, didn't they? I mean, it got watered down like to the 10th degree. Turn to the forward of the third edition. Last paragraph, three sentences down. It says, each day, somewhere in the world, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. I hate when people come in here and say, well, I'm just going to share my experience, strength, and hope. Do you really care about my experience? You want to know the facts. You want to know how to stay sober forever. Permanent sobriety. It talks about it twice in this book, correct? I'm going to show you the second place it does. That's what I'm showing you today. Permanent sobriety. I don't care what age you are. Permanent, forever. And it's not going to be a struggle. Trudge. Trudge the road of happy destiny. Look it up, what trudge meant back in the 20s and 30s. To move forward with purpose. But us AAs could take that cross and go with it, right? I went down the beer aisle today and I'm like, happening to me. I went down the beer aisle and I had a hard time, and then you got an alcoholic mind. And your spiritual condition is off, so let's go through the steps. Okay? Don't drink, go to meetings have killed more alcoholics than the plague. That's a true story. Actually, I made that up. But did that sound good? I like making things up. But then I have to tell you, I used to be able to make it up and go with it. Check this out. I had a guy, and I'm going to read his email to me. Brainiacs are really tough to sponsor. I mean, this guy went to the Harvard of Canada. He went to the London School of Economics. If you know anything about that school, it's like it makes Harvard look like a community college. Brainiac. He was in my office Sunday, dying. Never worked the steps. Dying. So I knew I was going on this week and a half long trip and I wasn't going to see my family. I had one day that was Sunday. I looked at my wife and she just looked at me. She says, go. She says, just go. Take care of him. Go. Because that's my wife. She is into this with me. I mean, full force. I'll tell you a story about her. So I take this guy. He says, okay, tell me what happened. Okay, 1998. All right, he comes in 1998. First thing I say, did you work the steps of the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous? No. Did you sponsor people out of Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous? No. Did you go to meetings? Yes. What happened? Oh, well, I came back in 2000. Okay, let's see what happened. Did you work the steps out of Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous? No. Did you sponsor people out of Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous? No. Did you go to meetings? Yes. What happened? I'm sitting in your office. But I thought meeting makers make it. And the light went on. He's like, wow. Meeting makers do not make it. And if they do make it, it's because they're hard drinkers, and that's fine. Just leave us alone. Sit there, behave, set up the chairs, make the coffee. You're all good at that stuff. Make us laugh. You know, like the California speakers. Oops, did I say that? No, California speakers are great. Not like Chris and Rich. Meeting makers, folks, do not make it. It killed more people than the plague. I want you to turn to the doctor's opinion. Doctor's opinion, 1, 2, 3, 4. Here we go. Fourth paragraph. It states, in the course of his third treatment, so Bill Wilson was not a first-time winner. In the course of his third treatment, he acquired some ideas. And those ideas were the steps in helping others. In the course of his third treatment, he acquired some ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. As part of our rehabilitation, He commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they, I thought there were no musts. Let's circle that word must. By the way, I have no life. I read that. I fly all over the place, so I have a lot of time on my hands. There's 82 musts. I counted. Must do likewise with still others. If you must do likewise as part of your rehabilitation to save your life, then why am I going to tell you to wait a year? Because you do not know the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and how the program of recovery works. Is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. Are you stupid? Nope. You are not. You just haven't been shown. You know, I know my name around some towns that just gets crushed when I move there. And I understand that. And I'm okay with it. Because think about this. You got this young whippersnapper with only 15 years of sobriety coming in, telling you about the original message that he has studied to the nth degree. And you have no idea what he's talking about. And you got 30 years. So what are you going to do? One, feel threatened. Two, when you're threatened, what do? You just start putting him down, putting him down, putting him down. Make his message not heard anymore. Make it something different. Stir something up. Get into a meeting and start talking about divorces and horses and cows and okay, here we go. We're moving forward. We're walking. We're walking. We're walking. This man and over 100 others have appeared to recovered. 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 Turn the page. Top of the page. These men may have a remedy. If you have a remedy for something, that's pretty big, isn't it? These men may well have a remedy for thousands of such situations. You may rely absolutely on anything they say. Dr. Silkworth. That's a doctor who had a 2% sobriety rate talking about a bunch of drunks who came in and are sobering up his whole hospital. That's why Chris is bringing this message to so many doctors. I want you to go down two paragraphs on that page. The doctor's theory that we have an allergy to alcohol interests us. The allergy they're talking about, folks, is what I drew on the board. Comes in as alcohol, turns to formaldehyde, goes to codeine, turns to barley and hops, and then comes out as water. Okay? Once you have that allergy, you can never, whether you're 19 years old, whether you're 25 years old, you can never come back. I hate to tell it to you. You could do it one day at a time if you want, but if you want permanent sobriety, and you do this book, and you work the steps, and you help others to achieve sobriety, your whole life will change, and you will never drink again. Ever, 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 ever. Contingent, so long as you keep on working on your spiritual condition. How do you do that? Helping others. I do it through prayer and meditation now. My prayer and meditation is taking so long, it's starting to become a pain in the ass, but I don't know if you can say that about spirituality. But this morning I had to get up at 5 because I knew that I was going to go on. I just flew in from the West Coast. You know what I mean? Turn the page. I think in your book it's XXVIII. Now, you're going to see me pop a vessel here. So I'm going to wipe myself off. Here we go. First paragraph. It says, we believe, the first 100 of Alcoholics Anonymous believes, and so suggests a few years ago, that the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy, as we just talked about. The phenomenon of craving, I want you to circle the phenomenon of craving. That is the deal. It's not that I lost every job. It's not that I got 4 DWIs. It's not that I almost crashed airplanes. It has to do with the phenomenon of craving once I take alcohol in my body. If you don't have it, you're not an alcoholic. Stay, set up, break down. Make us coffee. There is a place for you. Okay? The phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. These allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form. Next to that, I want you to write step one, powerless. We are powerless over alcohol. Our lives have become unmanageable. I will never give you or anybody my power. I am not powerless over people, places, and things. You are not powerless over people, places, and things. It talks in the big book about we all have an inner spirit, an inner God. If I have an inner God, if I'm connected to my higher power, how could I be anything but powerful? Everything that I take full responsibility up until 1995. I designed that whole freaking mess, and it was just a disaster. And I take full responsibility up until 2009, this unbelievable, successful life that I have today in every form, love, job, spirituality, I take full responsibility for that. Let's stop beating ourselves up. Powerless over people, places, and things. If I don't like you, I don't hang out with you. That's it. Including family. My oldest son. The love of my life. I speak to him 5 times a day. We haven't spoken in almost 3 weeks. It's killing me. He goes to Florida State University. He's got this girlfriend. That's all I'll say. And she was driving me so crazy, I finally said to myself, I got to pull away. And I got to let him run this one. This is his. I'm with him heart and soul. But I'm going to let him go down in flames on this one. Okay? Until she becomes my daughter-in-law, then it's all over. No. So I pull away. Places, if I don't like a place, I move. I got 8 months and 10 days left in Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm done. Why am I counting? Because I went down there with a mission to take my kids through high school while my wife, ex-wife, still wants to fly and play flight attendant. That's fine, because I believe you got to love your work. But I don't think they deserve any nannies, so I moved down there 5 years ago, and I'm bringing them all through, and I got 8 months and 10 days left. Then I get back to Charlottesville, Virginia, where I still have a house, and I commute back and forth now. Places, I leave. Things, Microsoft is my biggest client, and they didn't like when I brought a BlackBerry into meetings in Seattle. So I got a Microsoft phone, and I finally threw it out the window. Now I'm peaceful again. And I'm back to BlackBerry. Okay? So I am not powerless over this. These are all decisions we make. If you truly have a God inside you, which you do, then you are all powerful. And I'm going to show you in the 10th step how you could design this through prayer and 11th step through prayer and meditation. And how I've designed this. I've designed all of this. This stuff works. It's not a secret. It's unbelievable. Some long-haired, bearded guy about 2,000 or so years ago said, ask and you shall receive. Do you think he was joking? Why do we not think we're worth it? Why do we always start off with we put ourselves down in AA? I won't do it. I refuse to do it. I take full responsibility up to 1995, and I take full responsibility up to 2009 with this unbelievable life. With the help of my God and you. Does that make sense? We're going to come back, and we're going to finish up that, and then we're going right into the steps. Are you all excited about that? All right, we're going to take a 20-minute break. Thank you.